Thank you very much for the introduction. I'm Björn Hassler, this is Sarah Hennessy, and we're going to give this first talk together, and this is our title, Appropriate New Technologies to Support Interactive Teaching in Zambia. It's a DFID-funded project. It's a small pilot project that ran for about 6-7 months. Basically, this is the kind of basic... I'm just going to give kind of bird's eye introduction that sort of has a background to some of our work. We really think Africa's problems in inverted commas are ultimately be solved by Africans. So what do you do about this? Well, Africa needs more scientists and engineers, and education is clearly important to that, and ICTs are seen to be instrumental in modernizing education. But what do you do with ICTs? Can you just take a bunch of ICTs and drop them into an education system? Our view is no. So there's two things. Firstly, ICTs need interactive pedagogy to be effective. That's even the case in really well-resourced places like the UK. One could discuss that more, but Sean. And the second thing is that ICTs also need to go hand in hand with appropriate content. I mean, once you have the ICTs, what do you do with them? So you need both the pedagogies and the content. And we see this as a kind of triangle. ICT is one corner in this triangle. The next one is pedagogy and professional development, and the other one is educational resources, perhaps open educational resources. So we see these as a set of three elements that all reinforce each other and work together. So I'm going to start off by looking at ICTs. And this is kind of really what we looked at in our project to see, well, what does an ICT-enabled Zambian school look like? And just to say that we tested a whole bunch of equipment with this DFID funding, and we looked at a number of different things. I just want to kind of bring out a couple of elements in this, one of which is, what does a teacher computer look like? Is a teacher computer the same as a student computer? And one of the things you might say is, well, it might need to have access to the internet. It probably has a standard kind of operating system on it, so you can do lots of different things. And one of the things we're also looking at is, how do you enable ICT ownership among teachers? Is there kind of scope for microfinance schemes, for other ways of financing computers for teachers? And then you contrast this with a kind of student computer that has different kinds of requirements. It needs to be very robust. They all need to be configured the same. They all need to be really easy to log on. They need to connect to the network automatically so that students or that the lesson can just proceed and get on with the kind of content. And this is now where it kind of connects to the kinds of learning. You'll see how it connects to mobile learning. Here's some students with a laptop, and here's some students with an Android tablet. We also tried a bunch of non-digital devices because these are really important in terms of supporting the ICTs. So here's a bunch of students with mini whiteboards holding up their results and engaging in discussion. And so really this is a sort of overview of this. There's lots of other things that we could talk about, but I'll hand over to Sarah now to talk about the other elements in this equation.
Thanks. Okay, so the open education resources to make the use of these kinds of mobile devices that Bjorn's been talking about effective, we need some interactive, accessible, rich kinds of resources to support learning, to support collaborative learning in particular. And these were quite a challenge for our teachers to source. We provided some support in finding some kinds of applications and games that were that would work at the low bandwidth that they had, that were easily accessible, easy to get hold of, and to make use of. So we had things like Scratch, GeoGebra, those sorts of games. Okay, that brings me to pedagogy and the kind of learning dynamic that's happening within the classroom. And these are some of the elements of it. Group size is one. How many devices do you need? How many children around one of these devices works? And we found the teachers claimed sort of between 2 and 4 children around a small mobile device was about right. If you have 2 devices in a group of 4, that's even better if you can afford that, because then you have the interactive dynamic, but you have enough sort of children being able to see the screen. But we did actually find that children, even 4 around a device, worked okay. The children, interestingly, preferred to be in groups of 3 or 4 than to work in a pair because they enjoyed the discussion element, so that was quite nice. There's an example of a slightly larger group than I've been talking about, but still working. Encouraging collaboration. we did see quite a lot of fluid, multi-user kind of collaboration. Children did work in teams. They worked together to try and solve a problem or to achieve a kind of common goal. So this illustrates the potential value of these kinds of tablets and network netbooks and things in this sort of context. The touch screen on the tablets was quite important for that, in facilitating collaboration. Particularly, actually, when the games were usable in all dimensions, when there wasn't a sort of... when they could sit around them 360 degrees, then the interaction was pretty fluid. And the control was sort of decentralized, so the children used to take turns. As you'll see in this little video clip of a game called Unblock Me. Yeah.
So the points you see, a red block here that I've highlighted, and the points you have to move this one through this gate, and you have to get the other ones out of the way. And as you'll see, it's a very short video clip, but you'll see that the students keep pointing out that this one there in the middle is in the way, and they're discussing what the strategy is for getting that one out of the way. And of course, it takes a little while for this to be worked out, and the clip's only some 30 seconds or so. But that's kind of how they interact around these devices quite fluidly without really being instructed to do so.
On a good day.
On a good day.
When the sun's shining.
When the sun's shining, absolutely. When the technology's working. Okay. And that brings me to professional development, which is actually a really central focus and central, actually, to all of what we've said up until this point. And we have a parallel project, the OER for Schools project, running alongside this, which is funded by CCE. It's been running for over a year now. And we are working on developing professional development resources with our teachers to support the integration of these kinds of devices. It takes a workshop and school-focused approach, as you can see there. Okay, and that brings us to some questions that we'd like to raise for discussion. These are questions that are taxing us, and we're hoping that some of you might be able to shed some light or give us some opinions. Which devices, what's the best setup in a classroom environment like this when you've got limited resources? What would you go for if you have, there's a lot of things out there on the market. The Android 3.0 tablets are coming in now. They're beginning to emerge. They weren't really available a few months ago when we were doing this field work. Are they the answer, or would we go for netbooks and other combinations of things? We tried out the e-readers and things like that in combination as well. How do we deal with the lack of internet access or partial access, intermittent access, in countries like Zambia? There are also very high costs to internet access in Zambia, and there's no educational discount. How do we progress beyond that? What forms of professional development are effective? What from a teacher's perspective, what will help them? And then collaboration. This is about, the idea that there are many and many initiatives going on in parallel, and fragmentation is always a danger here. Many sort of schemes are regional, they're not very well funded necessarily, then there isn't that joined up thinking when we're thinking about developing ICT use in schools or with professional development. I think Tim Unwin said it very nicely, so I won't repeat that. But our question is really, how can we approach this kind of activity collaboratively and bring these initiatives into synergy? Thank you very much.